you can probably understand is heaven. Okay, we're going to talk about heaven today. And, you know, I've been kind of thinking about what I was going to speak of for 3 or 4 days last week, and reading in the Bible one day, and I got into Matthew about the parables that Jesus talked about heaven, and I'd read through them, you know, and I still wasn't sure what I was going to speak about, but then last Wednesday evening, we had choir practice, and that song, When We All Get to Heaven Medley, came out to me, and I thought, okay, thank you, Lord, that's what I'm supposed to talk about today. So, the thing about heaven is, we don't know how great it's going to be. But that song there gave a pretty good explanation or description of what we're going to get out of being a Christian. And, you know, it started out that I have a home prepared where the saints abide, and I long to be by my Savior's side. And, you know, I think we all realize there's going to be saints in heaven, and those that we love that's been gone on before, and we're going to know people when we get there. And, of course, our Savior is going to be there to welcome us home. Praise God for that. Then we sang about it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. Well, the Bible tells us that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads into life, and few there will be that find it. Well, I'm wondering about a highway to heaven if you think about that verse, but in Matthew 7:21 it also says that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Well, we can only pray that there's going to be a lot of lanes on that highway going to heaven, okay? So we have to do our job to make that happen. But my favorite part was when we sang, we'll understand it better by and by. And you know, all believers should be looking forward to that day when we're going to have that knowledge of Christ and understand life's questions. Christ will answer everything for us. You know, we'll be talking to him, we'll be talking to the saints, and ask them the questions about everything that happened in their life. It's going to be a wonderful day when we get there. And the last part of that medley, it talked about the pearly gates will open, and we'll be treading the streets of gold. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, probably few people here that want to leave this earth. But when you think of the beauty of it, eternity in heaven, you probably just can't wait to sing Jesus, to see Jesus and sing and shout the victory. So, and then right at the end of the song, we sang that word heaven, okay? And before, we had crossed that out because we thought it was a little bit too hard to do. But I thought, we can't sing this song about heaven and not sing to say that word. So we did that, added that on the end, and I think it did pretty good. Thank you, choir. So, and I was wanting to concentrate on Jesus today and speak more about Jesus and what he teaches us. And the way that when I was reading this scripture, the way he was revealing heaven to the disciples. And, you know, we hear about heaven. We hear the verse from John 14. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, it says that where I am, you may be also. Well, where do you usually hear these verses? At a funeral, right? Well, I don't think that Jesus wants us to wait until our life is over before we understand those verses and read them and understand what it means to us. We shouldn't have a troubled life if we believe in God. If we're Christians, then we can be assured that where he is, we will be. And he's telling them that all who believe will live with him eternally. Well, Jesus talked many times about his Father in heaven. Especially when he prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, right? But that kingdom, it's going, Lynn were talking a while ago, and he said, you know, when the New Jerusalem comes down, we're all going to be on earth, right? that were in heaven. Well, he reassured them. He said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." He told them to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts. "A little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father." And one of the last things he said to the disciples, he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Of course, they did get to touch him, and they were there when he went up in the clouds. So, there's a lot of hope there that the disciples had, and you know, we have that same hope. And I know that when we think of that hope and how perfect heaven will be, I think of all the beautiful places on earth that I've been to and felt peace. But I know that heaven will be much more beautiful, much more peaceful. And it should help our faith when we think of eternally being with God. And, you know, we think we're going to have a lot of rest and a lot of peace up there, but we're also going to be having a lot of other things, like worshiping God, serving Him. We'll still be serving Him up there, okay? Amen? Great. But we'll be in a perfect union and communion with our Creator. So, I want to look at Matthew chapter 13 here, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to that. Jesus talked a little bit about heaven in this chapter. Actually, he talked a lot about heaven in chapter 13 of Matthew. And Jesus wanted the disciples to know that heaven was prepared for them. But then he had to prepare them and us for heaven. So he gave us these parables. Until we get to heaven, we must live in this world and make it as close to heaven as we can. In these parables, Jesus' aim was to have the disciples build up his church, and he gave them a look at how the church can become a present-day form of the kingdom of heaven. He did that by giving an earthly comparison with a spiritual meaning and that they could relate to. If we're going to be ready for heaven, then we need to understand what it is in this world that could keep us from getting there. He talked a little bit about there. So let's look at chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. It says, "And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, we should all understand that Jesus is the sower. And the seed is the word that is being sown. And in this parable, the seed is to be spread throughout the world. Okay, it's no longer to be for just the children of Israel, the house of Israel, the Jewish nation, but it's to be given to all people. And he wants the disciples, he wants them to know that they need to spread this seed that will grow his church. But the seed is being sowed in ground that is buried in its ability to provide nourishment. The seed is on the stony ground, doesn't get into the soil. And the fowls, they see the seed, they come down, they pick it up, and then that word doesn't get spread. Okay, there's the thin soil, okay, a little bit of rocky, a little bit of thin soil, which warms up quickly, which is good for seeds. The seed sprouts, and it can grow, but then when the sun comes out, it doesn't have the moisture or the roots to survive. And verse 7 there said that the seed fell among the thorns, or the soil that hasn't been prepared. And we all know how weeds can take over a garden if we don't till or hoe it, right? So, of course, the seed that falls on good ground, that is prepared to receive it, can produce a large crop. And so Jesus, he asked the disciples, the disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. And he told them in the next few verses there, 11 to 17, that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. Well, we should be doing that every day if we take his word into our hearts and use it in our lives. It has to be a daily thing, and that's where probably many of us fall short. I do my best, but I can say that I don't spend enough time in the Bible. I try to understand what I'm reading, but, you know, we can't understand everything that's in there, right? It's hard. But Jesus gives them more detail on this parable in verse 18. Okay, and then he said to them in verse 18, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and casts away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he is offended. He also has received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this age and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, those weeds, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, who also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So how are you receiving the seed of the word? Key is in how we understand it and how we use our faith to comprehend what he's saying. This is how we should all be as we search through our Bibles to understand in our heart how that can help us with our Christian walk. The question is, do we really understand in a way that helps us to be faithful to God? A believer should hear the word, understand the message, and then produce fruit to prove it. The amount of faith you have should determine the fruit that you produce. Fruitfulness is what determines the type of ground you are. What I found interesting is that you can be fruitful, but you can still have a few stones in your life. And I think we all have a few stones in our life. We're not perfect, right? Can't be perfect, okay? But we produce as much as we can, or should, to do our best. So what stone in your life is keeping you from producing 100-fold? We all need to consider that. What is keeping us from doing our best? Jesus was intent on educating everyone about the need to get to heaven, as he gave at least 12 parables about preparing for heaven. There's 7 in chapter 13 here. There's 5 more in the rest of Matthew. Probably a few others in some other of the Gospels. The next one talked about the wheat and the tares, giving a warning to the laborers in the field. You and me. Tells how the devil wants to distract us from serving so that we don't produce fruit. But the one thing he can't do is change us from the wheat that we are if we truly commit to serving him. That wheat's going to grow. Yes, the weeds can keep it from growing and being its best, but it's still going to be wheat. You're still going to be a Christian. And the more you can grow, because weeds and those stones out of your life, the better it'll be. So no matter what weeds grow in your life, you can still have those roots that reach down deep and give you the strength to follow as you should. short two verses about the mustard seed parable is a great message that the church will eventually grow to be great in service for Him. But it also teaches that the outward growth is not always a true picture of spiritual growth. All churches need to be putting the word and that seed into their members' lives. Maybe helping to trim a few branches that aren't as healthy as they should be. In chapter 20, there's a parable of the workers in the vineyard. And we know that the devil is hiring workers to do the work in God's field. In the devil's field. The devil has workers doing the work in his field. But God is hiring laborers into his vineyard. And whether they're hired at a young age or at the 11th hour, as it says in that parable, they will all receive a reward for their work. And, you know, if you know that parable, some that were hired early and later receive the same reward. Well, we know what that reward's going to be. And it's a great reward that we're going to have. To know that we will be walking in heaven with the prophets and the disciples shows how God rewards those who choose to follow Him. And the last parable I want to talk about today in chapter 25. So turn to chapter 25, if you would. And we will read about verses 14 through 30. The parable of the talents. This parable here really speaks to each of us as we go about our daily lives, preparing ourselves to one day be with Him. Let's read 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants comes and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thy wicked spirit, slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who hath 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, if there's anything about our lives as Christians, it is that Jesus doesn't want us to be idle as we wait for His return. We don't know when that will be. So we must be diligent each day to work for Him. We all have talents. Some have more than others. And just as they say that a pastor is more accountable, we're all accountable for the work we need to be doing. This statement struck out to me that said, it is the duty of man to render himself beneficial to those around him. How else can we honor Jesus' command to love our neighbors? The first two were diligent and faithful to the task that Jesus gave them. They not only pleased their Lord by being faithful, but they would receive other rewards. Do you think that we have to wait to get to heaven to receive rewards? Now, I would have to say to that, no, we don't. We have our rewards here on earth, and we get the more we get more rewards, the more we do. Would you agree with me that there is much work to be done in this church to bring us to a closer relationship to Christ? Probably never can be a time when the job would ever be done. But I'm sure that we've all been there and made that excuse to keep us from volunteering or for a committee or just showing up when there was a work day or an event that needed somebody to help. Of course, we have busy lives, but as I told someone yesterday, you can't make excuses. You just have to say, just going to do it. When we take away the excuses, we end up finding that we enjoy the fruits of our labors. Christ has honor in store for those who honor Him. What work we do for God in this world will pale from the joy that we will reap in heaven. We have to think of our work as a gift that we give to God. He will reward us just like the two that had an increase. Even though we may receive rewards in heaven, we will also receive a satisfaction of the work done from the heart that will be a blessing. Anytime we can be a blessing, we will be planting the seed of the Word of God to someone who needs to hear it. Well, you may never know how much the seed grew that you planted. And, you know, we've all had discussions with someone or just talked to someone along the way, and we don't know how many seeds we planted in our life. But we know that we want everyone to go to heaven. That should be our main goal in life. We need to keep on sowing seeds. We also need to hoe a few weeds in our lives that keeps us from doing our best. I pray that you all have a big sack full of seeds, that you're carrying them with you wherever you go, and that the sower is helping you to spread them. Well, I didn't know what Lynn was going to say today when I read this sermon. I finished it up last night, later in the evening. But it speaks to each and every one of us. And we have to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him. Whatever we do, however we do it, we need to think of our Father in heaven, of our Savior and what He's done for us. Okay. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word, for Your Lord, for Your teachings, for these parables that tell us, dear Lord, that if we want to be with You in heaven, we have to help other people get there also. We have to spread Your Word, Your seed. Because, dear Lord, You're not the only sower out there. If we believe and we want to follow You, we should be sowing seed wherever we are. We should be trying our best, dear Lord, to take those stones out of our lives that are keeping us from serving You the way that we should. Or those weeds that are growing up around us, dear Lord. We know how much You care for us. Shown us Your love by Your Son Jesus going to the cross. Dear Lord, help us all as we decide what we're going to do to follow You. Help us all, dear Lord, to have that hope in our lives, that peace that we have that passes understanding, that gives us the knowledge that we know that we need, dear Lord, to live in this world of sin. So just be with each one today, dear Lord, and we just thank you so much. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Softly stand.